This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
A very intriguing game tonight. The Nets in Philly against the Sixers. And the Yes pregame show will start at 7 o'clock with Chris Sheeran and Frank Isola. And the game's at 7:30 with Ian Eagle, Sarah Kustak, and Michael Grady. And Sarah is nice enough to join us now to give us a little bit of a preview. Sarah, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. It's so good to talk with you guys.
I do have big news for you. I don't know if you realize it. It hasn't been announced yet, but this is big. With the I don't even know if Don and Peter know. With the retirement of Ken Singleton, you are now the single nicest person on air. Yes.
It's wow.
It's unanimous. Peter, it's not even close.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know what? I called Kenny and asked if he could do me a favor because I wanted to bump up in the rankings.
Right.
So I said I wanted to be number one on your list, but thank you.
Well, thank you know what?
That's the highest compliment because Kenny's the ultimate.
And the sad part, Sarah, is for me to get to number one, everyone else would have to retire. So it's never going to happen. So there you go. Congratulations, my friend.
Let's hope not.
All right. So let's talk about this Net team. Obviously, with Kyrie Irving, I mean, Vegas has them as the favorite to win the title. And strangely enough, even without Kyrie Irving, they're still considered a title favorite. So how much do they have to do? How much heavy lifting, if Kyrie doesn't return, does this team have to do to keep pace with the expectations?
I think there's always heavy lifting. And Michael, you know this across any sport, all of you do. To win a championship and have championship aspirations, a lot of things have to go right. And it's not just about your depth of talent or talent on top, but it's about everyone staying healthy. It's about the cohesion of the group. And just it's a long season. And so the way things are laid out with this roster, with the personnel, when you're dealing with a team that is headlined by Kevin Durant and James Harden, just those two alone, you're going to have title intentions. And so I think, you know, as we saw, obviously the game against Milwaukee wasn't necessarily the best of showings, but we saw that this is a very new group. To think about the fact that you go back to game 7 and that loss against Milwaukee, the 10 available players off the bench for the Nets, 9 of them are gone, and Nicholas Claxton played 1 second in that game. So there are a lot of new pieces, despite some of these core guys, you know, still being here and still being around. So I think Steve Nash's coaching staff feeling out what they have, how everyone's going to work together. I do think it's going to be a work in progress as the season goes on, but you got a ton of veteran experience. You've got championship pedigree on this team. You have depth, and you have optionality with how you want to play, big or small. And I think there was a lot of key signings this offseason. But more than anything, I think it's predicated on Durant, on Harden, and how the rest of this group fits together. And, of course, everyone's staying healthy.
Now, what's the vibe in the room? What's the vibe within the organization about Kyrie being gone? Is it let's just survive till he comes back, or are they just going under the assumption we're just going to play this season without
him? Don, that's a great question, and to be honest, it seems like there is no expectation necessarily that he will be back or return or things will change that will make him eligible to play. And I think for the organization, making that decision of not having a part-time player and either full-time or no time, I think that was the best thing for this group because there was such a sense of clarity. And so now whoever's showing up, you know, watching Shoot Around this morning in Philly and at the game and how you're working through rotations and combinations or what lineups look like, this is the group. And I think just for all of these players to have that mentality and that approach, and as they continue to dissect what they need to do, areas they need to improve, how they're going to go about this, I think for them, it is a, you know, blinders on, clear focus of the goal and of this group. And so I think at this point, until things may change, I think they're not even considering that or thinking about that. It's just about the time being and who's in the locker room and with this team right now.
What do you – we all know, Sarah, how talented Kyrie is, but, like, what do you think situationally the biggest loss is? When will he be the most missed by this team?
I mean, he – you don't replace a talent like that. You know, Peter, like, he is just, I think so much focus for individuals who may not, you know, be watching the Nets game in, game out, or watching the NBA all the time. I think you often hear more about Kyrie when it comes to some of the things off the court. You don't replace a talent like that. I mean, he is one of the best finishers at his size that the game has seen. He has one of the best set of handles that this game has ever seen. The way that he could score at will, you know, that was something that, you know, for so many fans who watched the Nets throughout the course of the last two seasons, it was in limited time and fashion. But, I mean, he could go through stretches where he is just unconscious in how he is able to get a bucket. And so that was something that the Nets were looking forward to, relied upon, just that type of offensive firepower. I think the thing, though, that you look at, okay, down the line, you've got Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers to have played the game, James Harden, you know, you could say the same thing. And so the areas for this team that were fortified this offseason were more defensive-minded players, maybe adding some more to the front court. So some areas that they feel like, okay, the scoring, we can try and shore up from some different players. That load may rely a little bit more heavily upon James Harden. When he came over with the team, he was still putting up big numbers in terms of points, but his role was much more of a orchestrator, facilitator, and getting others involved. That's still 100% going to be his role, but he may need to amp up the scoring. Kevin Durant, same type of thing. Patty Mills is a player who they're going to look to quite a bit. He'll be coming off the bench, but I think you saw what he could do in the Olympics. You've seen, you know, just in that short brief, you know, game one, just how he can score. But that may be more of a facet of what they're looking for out of him. So I think everyone is going to have to share on that load, but I do think just knowing, you know, whether it's end of game situations throughout the course of a game, you go through stretches where it's hard to find a bucket. I mean, Kyrie was just that, and playing off the ball, playing with the ball in his hands, how he could create and get his own shot. But, you know, again, it circles back to, this is the circumstance at hand. And so whatever areas that everyone else is going to need to try and fill in some of those gaps, that's going to be a part of this mission for this team.
Sarah Kustok of the YES Network is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Nets and the Sixers tonight on YES. Pre-game shows at 7, games at 7:30. You know, you mentioned how the roster has turned over, Sarah, and I think that Sean Marks has done an unbelievable job. And so many people want to get a ring, so you're getting veterans willing to take less money to come play here. But and the roster is loaded with guys that have been important for their teams that they've left. And then I looked at the first game, I watched it closely, and a guy like Bruce Brown, who was really important to them last year, played 4 minutes of garbage time at the end. I mean, is that going to be a delicate balancing act for Steve Nash to get everybody minutes? Because nobody wants a rotation of 12 people. It's got to be probably 9 at most. So people are going to sit.
Yeah, Michael, that's a great question. One that was asked a lot during training camp and media day. And I think, you know, it's one thing to say the right things early on, but throughout the course of a long season, that's something that everyone's going to need to be bought into. And it's interesting you bring up Bruce Brown. He is a topic of conversation for many Nets fans right now, because he was a fan favorite and beloved in what he was able to do. And Steve Nash talked about it, and, you know, after the game and he said, we know what Bruce can do. We know what he brings to the table. We need to figure out how all these other pieces work and how the rest of this personnel fits. Bruce will get his time. And so to me, that's a layout of, okay, our goal is about getting ourselves in the best possible scenario for accomplishing what we want once we get to the middle of the season, the end of the season, the postseason. So that'll be a factor. And I am not privy to the conversations he's had with Bruce, but Bruce is one of the biggest team guys and willing to do whatever it takes. And so last year it was, hey, Bruce, at 6'5", can you play a big? And can you roll? And can you play on the inside, even though he came from Detroit as a point guard? At the early part of the season is, hey, Bruce, you may not be in the rotation. And so for a guy that in the offseason decided to take less money to stay with the Nets, it's a sacrifice. But I think it's important to remember it's a long season. That's going to be a part of it. But I think it's a good problem when you have depth and have a lot of guys that you're trying to get time for, as opposed to the other way around.
All right, before we let you go, obviously a big part of stopping the Sixers, you have to stop Embiid. What is going to be the amount of people they're going to throw at them? How are they going to deal with Embiid tonight?
He's a monster. He's a monster. He's heading into this one questionable with some knee soreness. I assume, though, that he will play. He's a special talent, and I'm curious to see that, because the bigs and defending him and tossing a second player is something they're going to need to look at. I imagine we're going to see LaMarcus Aldridge on him a lot. Nicholas Claxton, if he gets matched up against him, just with the size and the strength, is going to be a huge test. Blake Griffin, I'm sure we'll see some time in him. But the switching scheme, the Nets run, it's probably going to be a lot of different players and a lot of running a second guy at him and trying to do what they can to eliminate some of his damage, especially on the inside and on the offensive glass, because that's been a huge issue for the Nets. So it's not just with Embiid, but Andre Drummond as well, coming off the bench there. For Brooklyn and areas that can be a weakness, that's definitely one of them. So tonight's going to be a huge matchup.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so it's going to be on Yes tonight, 7 o'clock. It's going to be Sheeran and Isola in the studio. And then in Philadelphia, it's Sarah Kustak, who we're talking to right now, Ian Eagle, and Michael Grady. Sarah, always nice to talk with you, and we'll be watching tonight. Should be a great game.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, you have a great season. Thank you, Sarah. That is Sarah Kustak, and it's not a lie. She's unnaturally nice. It's. I wish I could be like a quarter as nice. I'm just not. It's sad.
Well, you can't wish to be nice.
No, I do wish, because I don't think I have the natural ability to be nice, or wish to be nice.
I don't think it takes ability. It's desire. It's like
take a walk.
No, niceness is like playing D.
Go away.
Just bring effort. That's all. Everybody's got the talent to be nice. It doesn't take a talent to be nice. It's just, do you want to be nice?
Yeah.
You don't want to be.
That's the thing.
Only to people I really like.
Come at me, nerds. Come at me.
So don't say you wish for it. Just
No, but I wish it. I did. Because I don't think I have the innate ability to be nice. That's a poo-poo take.
I have to tell you, I am with someone right now. Natalie is one of the nicest people I've ever met. She makes me feel not that nice.
You're not that nice. She's really nice.
I am Hack Rosenberg.
But I am nicer than you give me credit for. I'm very nice to
people. You're nicer than I am, but you're not nicer than most people.
I think I'm nicer than most.
No,
stop. I am very nice to strangers. I'm polite. I'm friendly. I give to the homeless.
You're not nice to old people, though.
No, I'm not. I'm not nice to old people who don't deserve nice.
Everybody who's old deserves nice.
That's just false. Don, you've come around. Don's with me now. Don,
I think everybody needs to be treated individually.
Exactly.
Why should anybody get a pass just because of who they are or what they are? It should be about that person. Like, so if you're an older person, what, I just have to be nice to you even if you're mean?
Yes.
But hold on. Can I just say something?
To me, everybody thinks that's a respectful way. I think you're being disrespectful.
Yeah.
You're being disrespectful to all the people that that are nice, that fall into the same category as an older person who might be mean.
All right, we've got to earn it. I've got to earn some money right now, so we have to break. Oh, did you have something important to say, Peter?
No, I was just going to say in closing on this subject that to be nice to old people is to inherently feel sorry for old people to some extent. And why would I feel sorry for the people in society who are lucky enough to live a long life? Don, they don't deserve pity. They've had a great run.
I love the old.
Love the old, though. I'm sorry you don't. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Giants or the Jets? Who's going to win more games? Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.